Good morning.
Morning.
You're all so blue today. Beautiful color and beautiful design on our t-shirts. And it's an exciting time, Vacation Bible School, for this church. We've had it for 20 years, and I will tell you, there's not been a single year where we have not had some kind of long-lasting impact in the lives of people. Some of us here today who worship together here regularly are now family met for the first time during Vacation Bible School. Isn't that wonderful? I love the theme as well, the superheroes of the Bible, and of course the ultimate hero being God, Jesus Christ. The impact that they've made in our world, in the lives of so many. There is so much more to do in our world. I was reminded of that when Andrew prayed. The question is, what's going on in our world? How did we get so far off track? What can be done about it? What's important? It was Israel that got off track. That's the reason why I chose Jeremiah chapter 6, 17 and 18 this morning, because God said, I want you to go back to the old paths, and you didn't want to do it. You didn't want to do it. They paid a high price as a result. And based upon that, some things that I think would help us from here moving forward, and always, for not only the Lord's church, but for our world, I want to share with you some things this morning on the subject, back to the basics. Back to the basics. For years, the University of Alabama had a famous football coach named Coach Bryant. And Paul Bryant, and he had the nickname for years when he was younger. They started calling him the Bear, his friends did. He was a part of a bet and at a fair, and got into a ring with a literal bear to wrestle the bear. And he didn't stay in less. I think he was in less than 20 seconds or something like that. But so they made fun of him for years, continued to call him the Bear. Well, he ended up going to the University of Alabama at a football team, which, let's just say, were pretty consistently beaten pretty poorly over and over for years and years. He is regarded as one of the all-time greatest coaches in college football. There have been books written about him, and it would not surprise some of you to know that I own some of those books. Younger coaches would come to the stadium there in Tuscaloosa and other places and watch, especially in Birmingham when they were at that stadium. And they would come, high school as well as college, they would come and they would watch this legend coach the team practices. On one occasion, during one of the evening practices, he told his players, he got them all together and he said, "Fellas," he said, "if you get away from the basics, you will always run into trouble. And when you do, you must go back to the basics." I'll never forget when we lived in Tuscaloosa. The stadium wasn't too far from our house. You get in the car, and just in a few minutes, you could see the lights in the evenings of the stadium. I remember a game that played on a Saturday, and Alabama didn't play too well. They got beat, and the whole state was just sad. But they didn't play fundamental football. They just didn't practice the basics. Sunday evening, you could drive by the stadium and the lights were on. Oh, and they were on. And I know what those boys were doing. And I know Coach Bear Bryant was out there at the stadium. Happened to know that for a fact. What were they working on? They weren't working on the fancy plays. They weren't drawing up anything. Those boys were out there and doing the basics. And they did the basics for a long time. and it made a great deal of difference for the rest of that season. What is true in football is also true in every sport and also in every aspect of our lives. We must never lose sight of the basics. How true is it? You look at statistics of any championship football team, you'll find that team has the most rushing yards, the best tackling, the best blocking, the defense allows the least amount of scoring and yards per game, most completed passes, the best teams as far as field goal kicking, the execution, for special teams, you name it. They're the ones. Why? Because of the basics. We must never lose sight of the importance of the basics. Not in our lives, and more importantly, in our walk with God. Because when you leave the basics, it's much easier to stumble in your journey with God. If you leave the basics, it's easier to fall into religious misunderstandings. It's easier to fall into, unknowingly even, biblical error. When you leave the basics, it's easier to fall into sin when you're tempted. When you leave the basics, it's easier to lose your very relationship with Christ. It's easier to start thinking like the world thinks and acting like the world acts. I can guarantee you that if there's anyone today who is at a place where you're not even sure which side you're on, I can guarantee you one thing, you've left the basics. You've left the basics. There are some areas in our lives where the basics are so important. In every aspect, really. And it doesn't matter how smart we think we are or how sophisticated we think we've become. There are some things that are just basic for us. Some basic things for this world and, more importantly, for the Lord's church. And there are too many to go through this morning. We couldn't even begin to scratch the surface on all the things that we need to get back to in relation to our country and the Lord's church. We just don't have the time. But I want to bring up three briefly that I think are indeed crucial for both parties, for us as the Lord's church and the world as a whole. And here's the first. We've got to get back to the basics in understanding and believing that there is but one God. Amen. And one understanding of that God. World religions during the time of Jeremiah in our text was very similar to our world today. During his time, world religions involved polytheism, which is a multiplicity of gods. They had a god for everything. They had a god for the sun. They had a god for the moon. They have a god for the earth. They'd have god for water. They'd have god to take care of the storms and the seas. They would have a god for plant growth. You name it, there was a god for it. It's not too different from our world today. You say it doesn't happen today. It absolutely happens today. You can go to Madras, India right now and walk up to a temple and there are all sorts of carvings on hundreds of gods listed, carved into those walls. This was the world that Israel found themselves in, surrounding, and all of these gods played these various roles, and Judah just left the basics. They left the basics. They began to consider, maybe this is something we should explore. Maybe this is something we should study a little more in depth. Maybe this is something that we should learn from this other group and at least hear them out and consider these various possibilities and gather back together and come to some conclusion that we can live with. And what happened is, they basically left the one true God and paid homage to false gods. Now, it wasn't like they didn't know. They had heard the stories. They had heard the stories from the generations before. Their families that found themselves leaving Egypt. Those that made it out of that desert. And other stories before them. The stories of Moses and the messages. And they knew in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. They knew it. It wasn't that you had one God that was in control of the sun, and one God who was in control of the moon, and one God who was in control of the earth, and then the water and the plants, etc. God created all things. The Bible begins with the most basic concept: one God created all things. And until we get that understanding of who that God is, we're going to continue to have problems. Why? Because we've lost the basics. The Apostle Paul dealt with the same thing in Greece. He looked around and saw these different statues to gods. Even one was called the unknown God. They were so superstitious or so religious that they thought maybe there's one we've missed. And so they just said this was the catch-all God. And this is where Paul says, you know what, let's talk about this one since you don't know him. And in Acts chapter 17, verse 24 and 25, he said, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He's Lord of heaven and earth, not different gods for them, but seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is He worshipped with men's hands as if He needed anything, seeing that He giveth to all life and breath and all understanding. I'll tell you, I believe this with all my heart. Man has this burning desire to worship. It's something that's within our very nature. And what he worships is his own choice. But there's not a single person that doesn't worship something. Every man pays homage to something or someone. And because this desire to worship doesn't come from our own imaginations, the object in which we worship cannot be from within ourselves. It cannot be from within ourselves. We must worship something outside of ourselves in order to find true spiritual satisfaction. And what you will find are a number of books that have been written basically saying the answer is from within yourself. You read the entire book, and then you get to the last page, you close it, and you go, well, they're just basically telling me the answer is within myself. I'm not really sure what that answer is. Oh, we got another book for that. Man has become his own God. He's become his own God, set out his own agenda, set out his own direction and plans, his own idea of morality. Then he got extremely smart, built bombs, and started blowing each other up. We've lost the basics. There is one true God who is in all things. There's one thing that people need to understand is that they're not perfect. We are imperfect people. We have limited ability, and we are unreliable at best. And what sense does it make to worship something that is imperfect? What sense does it make to worship something that is limited in ability? What sense does it make to worship something unreliable? Let me tell you, the one true God has never let us down. Ever. The only time we hit the ground is because of our failure to submit and follow. He has given us everything up to this precious moment in time. Where would we be without Him? He loves us like no one else can, and He does for us what nobody else can. And when man pays homage to his own wisdom, his own nature, his own art, his own wealth, his own intellect, his own education, his own power. He needs to go back to the basics. Because I'm telling you, this world is not getting better. It's getting worse. And as we continue to go down this path of getting away from the basics, don't expect it to get any better. One man will not fix it. There is one God. And our world needs to get back to Him. The second thing I want us to look at in relation to the Lord's church is what we do. I believe it's something very basic, which is worshiping God properly. We just need to worship God properly. You know, for God to be so perfect in everything. I mean, perfect in everything. There's no debate about that. I ask my brethren, I ask others, is God perfect? He's perfect. Does He leave anything undone? Absolutely not. Has He thought of everything? You bet He's thought of everything. He's given us everything we need to know and how to do and what. He is perfect in everything He does. And that is so true. He is perfect in His providence in working with man and bringing forth this very place with us here and everything in this world to work in a way that is so far beyond us that the top of our heads would blow off if He just gave us a peek. He's perfect. And everything. He has given us the opportunity to experience the very best this life can offer. And the very best on the other side of eternity. And my friends, to think that He would fail somehow in instructing us on how we should worship is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. He's either given me everything I need to know in this life or He has failed me. He either provides everything that I need in this life or He's failed me. Whatever it is and whatever aspect of life it is, and I submit to you the same is also true in worship. We see what kind of worship God wants. We see it from the voice and lips of words of His own Son. He's sitting talking to a woman from Sychar at a well. In John chapter 4, verse 24, He says, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. In other words, our hearts, our motivation, and the instructions must come from God. And that proper worship involves our heads and our hearts and our hands. It involves our heads from the standpoint that we must know what pleases God in worship. And I ask you the question, has He made that clear or not? It also involves our hearts that we are to be submissive and have that humble spirit that God wants in worship. And I ask you, has He made that clear or not? And then in relation to our hands, what He expects, the actions He expects from me as I serve Him. And I ask you, has He been perfect in that or not? I believe He has. His first century church seemed to understand it. And when they didn't understand it, the Lord allowed those who He instructed completely to correct them. Like the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But as we look at them through the applied example, I think it's pretty clear they got it. They understood it. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, they continued daily in the apostles' doctrines and fellowship, breaking of bread and in prayer. They understood it. Acts 20 and verse 7, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached to them. They understood it. It was 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2 that says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by in store, as God has prospered him. They understood it. It was Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19 where the Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. It's time people get back to the basics in regards to authoritative worship. If not, why not? Or has God failed us? And the instructions that He desires, and the actions, the mind and heart that He desires of His people. Man must get back to the heart of the whole matter. He has to get back to the heart of it. It's Psalm 119, 33 through 40. I don't have time to read them all, but I'll summarize them. I'll read sections if it's all right with you. Teach me, O Lord, the ways of your statutes. I shall keep them to the end. Give me understanding that I can keep the law, so I can observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go into the paths of your commandments. Incline my ear into the testimonies. Turn away my ears from beholding vanity. Establish the word unto your servant. Behold, I've longed after your teachings. Quicken me in your righteousness. Can you feel the heart of David here? Can you feel his heart and how important it was for him? Psalm 122 and verse 1, he said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad. I wasn't sad. I didn't look at it as, well, it's about time to get started. He said, I was glad when they said, let's go. Psalm 135, verse 1 through 3. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise Him, O you servants. You that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house, praise the Lord. He's good. Sing praises unto His name. You know, I will tell you that there seems to be a heart here that needs to be duplicated. It needs to be copied. It needs to be an example for us. It was Micah chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 that said, but in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountains of the house of the Lord shall be established at the top of the mountains. It shall be exalted above the hills, and all people shall flow into it. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go into the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He'll teach us of His ways, and we'll walk in His paths. For the law shall go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how close we are to the basics of truth when it comes to worship. Without the heart and the hand of worship, our worship is in vain. We must get back to the basics of worship. And then finally, the basics of love. Love has to be our primary motivator. It should be what causes us to do what we do and think what we think and say what we say. The love has to be from God and has to be rooted in Christ Jesus. In Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, we have a letter that Jesus wrote to a church that they weren't there. They were a working church. They were doing a lot of things in the community. They were long-suffering for righteousness' sake. They heard some things that were taught that weren't true, and they tested them just to be sure that they were proclaiming truth. They spent a great time in study and in teaching. But verse 4, Jesus says, nevertheless. And it never turns out well for that person when Jesus begins by saying, nevertheless. Nevertheless, I've got something against you. You've left your first love. You've left your first love. Yeah, but Lord, we're a working church. I know. We're doing neat stuff in the community. You not imagine. You just can't imagine. You wait till you see the organizations we partnered with. Doesn't matter. I know. We're standing for truth. Somebody comes in, teaches something that's not true. Boy, we stand on it. Book, chapter, and verse is where we are. He says, yeah, I know. Then what's the problem? You've left the basic. You've left some of the basics. And here's the most basic thing for you. You've left your first love, and that's me. Let me ask you something. Can a church work hard, do good acts, proclaim truth, and be known in the community as a strong group of people that get along, and everybody does things well, and everybody looks and goes, oh, you're a member of that church, and still not be doing the basics? Absolutely. That's the church of Ephesus. Answer the following questions for me. Why do you labor with this church? Why do you labor with this church? Why do you hope that your Christ-like example is seen by those outside these walls? Why do you strive for biblical truth to avoid religious error? Why do you do that? Why do you spend the time studying it? Why do you encourage other people? Why do you try to lift them up? If the answer is anything other than because I love Jesus, therefore I love you, then Christ might say, you too have left your first love. Love is a part of the most basic things in the hearts of His people. And if this world loved Jesus and loved one another like they were Jesus, this would be a better place to live. Even the Auburn fans have to admit the Barry was right. If you forget and leave the basics, you'll always run into trouble. People get hurt. Hearts are broken. Faiths are tested. And brethren, there's no need for it. There's no need for it. And so what we do is go back to the basics. The basics to become a Christian are that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus said, except you believe that I'm He, you're going to die in your sins. Repent of our sins, confess our faith in Him, be baptized, have our sins washed away. Folks, it's the basics. It's just the basics. And by doing that, we understand something very basically, and that is that Christ will forgive us of our sins, place us into His family, the kingdom, and we will be a part of that. And if we are faithful till we die, heaven will be our home. Folks, that's just the basic information. But how precious and important it is. May we hold true the basics and never leave them. May we, as Jeremiah preached, hold to the old paths. It is the old path that God tried to get them to see, that Jeremiah prayed that they would follow, and the old path that will lead us where we ultimately want to go. There is hope for this world. There is hope for our lives. But it's not from within ourselves. It's God, His teachings, His promises, and His grace. If you need to respond today to the teachings of our Lord, We would encourage you to do that. Let's stand together and sing.